Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the door was always open to go back to Baltimore. Obviously, there were some other teams that were involved as well, but for kind of the way we looked at the process was if Arizona was going to come in and they were going to have a fair price and it was something that we felt was fair, it was going to be really tough to turn down. Living here with the young kids, I wouldn't say all the other negotiations got kicked to the back burner, but for me, my focus was like, okay, well, this is something that we can stay here and stay home.
Now that's Corbin Burns. Last year for the Orioles, sub-3 earned run average, started the opener playoffs against the Royals, pitched great. All-star game starter for the American League, but it was one and done, short but sweet. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken. Vinny's in St. Louis with Penn State Hockey there tonight, 8:30 against Boston. You can watch it, ESPN2. Got Quick Draw over there, Nolan McGraw, total request Thursday. That was Corbin on the Ryan Ripken show. Of course, the Orioles just got their asses handed to them, 2 out of 3 in Arizona. Burnsy, we'll call him Burnsy, did not pitch. But explaining there, Ryan, put it into context for people just tuning in exactly what he was talking about in regards to free agency and where the Orioles ultimately didn't fit in.
Yeah, and the reason why this was all brought up, right, is because there was a couple clips online of talking about the Orioles, what did they really offer, and it was about the amount of years that Corbin said that the Orioles were looking to bring him back on. So then it was, well, the Orioles not serious on bringing him back. Then the report was that the Orioles offered 4 years, $180 million. If I do the math correctly, that's $45 million a year, which would have been the highest average pitching salary in the game of baseball. Right, Bob? So a lot of money. But the context of this situation, and we just wanted to put this to rest, and that was my thing talking to Corbin, and maybe it hits home a little bit more with me of understanding what he has to deal with a family. You know, my dad set the wrong example, Bob. He set a lot of great examples. The wrong example of this was he made me think that you could play in one place for 20 years, stay exactly where you want to be, and that anyone could be a big league player. And as you get older, you realize that's not the case.
Right.
And a lot of players, you have to go where the opportunity is best, and it might be your only opportunity. Corbin had the chance where he had the opportunity to go where he wanted to and also have a best opportunity to get paid very handsomely. And in this case, you know, in that conversation, I just wanted people to hear the words that once Arizona reached the threshold for a deal, it doesn't matter if the Orioles were going to give him 5, 6, 7 years. He wanted to be home. One of the first questions I asked, and if you want to check it out on YouTube, it's out right now on the Ryan Ripken Show channel. He said the importance of making his life simple, but simple for his kids, was a huge factor in all of this. So why not stay at home, young kids? He's there. Arizona's a good team, by the way. They're in a loaded division, but it's a good team. So I just wanted to put that all to rest. Yes, could the Orioles have looked elsewhere for opportunities? Sure, that's a whole different discussion. But when it comes to Corbin Burnes, at this point in time, I don't think any team was gonna take him away. Especially, last thing I'll say, the Blue Jays talked with Mark Shapiro about this as well, president of the Blue Jays. His words, talked with someone with the Giants, the consensus, it doesn't matter what we were going to give him. He wanted to go home. And he did. And thankfully, he didn't pitch against the Orioles, but I guess they really didn't need him in the final two games.
But a caller last hour said that David Rubenstein refuses to spend money or won't spend any money. And let's not forget, it's not like he's owned the team for 10 years.
Right.
He's a little more than a year into his own. And Nolan, get in here because you're a diehard fan who's fed up and he's not going to take it anymore. Personally, I think it's unfair to say he's not spending any money because the pursuit of Burns is something that maybe Peter Angelos in 94 does that sort of thing, but the current owners or previous, no way they even, John Angelos is telling you get enjoy it while it lasts because it's not happening. So is it unfair? All right, unfair the criticism from some that David Rubenstein's not spending any money, because that's a pretty hefty price tag offering someone the most money annually any pitcher's ever gotten in Major League Baseball.
Right, and I was a little surprised that, one, the numbers made it out there again, but two, the numbers being where they were at. I did not expect that. You know, we debated really this whole past couple months, all right, what would be a fair offer? Where did they come in? Was it about the money total or was it about the years? What was it? And to get at least what's out there, some sort of concrete figures on this, I was stunned. If those numbers are true, that they were willing to go 45 a year for this guy and pay that much. I mean, shocked, pleasantly shocked, I think would be a better way to say it. I didn't expect that from the Orioles. I think maybe fan frustration perspective would be, okay, that offer was on the table for Burns. You seemingly have this money, $180 million, that you're willing to spend. Where did that go? You know, it was Burns, and if Burns didn't take it, then nobody gets it. There wasn't someone else that doesn't have to take the full 180 or a good chunk of it. You know, maybe that would be my only pushback. But I do believe the numbers, and I do believe it is a very competitive offer.
I think the bigger part here is it's always the fear that the Orioles, it all comes down to, are you going to retain your guys? I think that was the biggest part right now, because the Orioles are going to have to make some decisions on their current players. And as much as there's great options out there, it would be devastating to Baltimore if you lost a Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westberg. Because you just watched, we just talked about Corbin Burns leaving, Nolan. It would hurt people losing Santander. I think you had to do what you had to do, right? He took the best deal. The Orioles weren't going to give him that. But I think that's where the consensus is if we're going to be competing now, what does that entail? Is that fair to say? What are we going to go out there and get that money and spend it where we need to put the Orioles back in contention for the World Series?
So Santander was what, 3-year deal?
5-year, $90 million?
But I'm with the Orioles we're offering.
Oh, 3 years, yes.
It might have been the 3 for $60 million that I said last spring training. So assuming he would have accepted it, and he was smart not to, that's his big payday.
Yep.
And Burns, there's $240 million that they had offered to keep their own. But to your point, Nolan, and you mentioned Mark Shapiro, Ryan, Toronto just gave Vlad 14 for $500 million. So if David Rubenstein gets on the horn to Scott Boras and comes anywhere close to that, and we were talking Kyle Tucker is going to get crazy money this offseason, but would Gunnar be willing to listen to that sort of talk? I would assume Adley would sign it like with his right hand, left hand, with his feet. He'd be ready to sign that contract tomorrow. But Gunnar, would he even listen to that sort of figure at that stage? Because we know they got $240 million sitting around somewhere.
I say if the 14-year deal that Vlad signed for, absolutely not. And if I'm Gunnar Henderson, and you have an agent like Scott Boras, and you just saw Juan Soto get paid, and if you think Gunnar is going to be a top five player for the next 10 years, why would you take a deal that's less than that? And that's just from that standpoint. So the play you got to have to Gunnar is, do you want to be an Oriole legend? Do you want to be the next thing? Because that's what they did for Vlad. It's like, hey, you might be able to get more money on the open market, but you can be the best position player in franchise history if you stay. That's what Gunner's going to – that's what they're going to have to push to Gunner. Money-wise, though, I don't know if – and this is crazy for me to say. I don't know what it's going to take. It's going to take $50 million a year to keep Gunner? Like,
right. Well, I really don't think we have any parameters on this because I just quickly – looking up here, major contracts in recent baseball history. Like when Bryce Harper signed in 2019, $330 million. And at that time, you know, MVP, one of the top guys in the league, pretty well consensus there. We've already gone from 330 to 500 in a couple of years. So to Ryan's point, yeah, all right, Gunnar Henderson, a couple more all-star seasons, not even winning an MVP, just being in that conversation, doing what he's done so far. Why wouldn't it be 700 million? Eight? I mean, when does it end? There's no bounds on this.
Two full years in, Gunnar, rookie of the year, starting shortstop, all-star game. Off to a slow start, and as we've talked about, he got hurt spring training. He's essentially playing in spring games now in real time in games that matter. But you said be an Oriole legend, is that, or younger? I mean, it seems like he's got an appreciation for the history of the franchise, but is that something that even resonates? And you want to be the next Cal? You want to be the next Palmer, the next Brooks? Is that something that he even would consider being a factor when it comes to sticking around?
I think it comes down to the priority of what the player wants. I think one thing, Nolan, to your point about with free agents, and it was a pleasant surprise, not that they're going to have this answer right now, because some guys are going to say, hey, I want to wait till free agency. But if you have a pretty good indication of who really wants to stay here, that can help you go and figure out who you're going to go out and get at the free agent market, right? If you have an idea that Jordan Westberg is like, hey, I'm all in, I want to be here, Gunner, I want to be here, then you can start focusing, okay, those are the two guys that have made that, we're going to take a leap of faith here, and then wait a minute, these other guys we might lose, we got to make sure that we can replace that, who's out there that we can go out there and get. That's how I think they're going to have to view it, but there's a long way to go here because these guys still have years they got to eat up, so you got to convince them, why would we eat up our years and make it worth our while if we're going to stay with you for a longer term?
All right, here's a question for you and everyone listening. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken in for Vinny, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. All right, Adley, you know, still in his rookie deal. Got a big old signing bonus, so it's not like he's hurting for tuna fish anytime soon. But you got one of the top prospects of baseball. He's on the shelf right now, I believe, with a hammy. But he's not long-term injury. He's a stud. I mean, you've seen him. The first time I saw him swing a bat was in spring training and looked pretty damn good at it. Is Adley still a priority for them, keeping long term, given the fact that he's now past 25 and maybe could make a position change?
I think at he some is. Point in time. I think he is. Didn't mean to cut you off there, yeah, but the biggest thing is, how long is he going to catch? That, I think, is when you're writing into a contract. What's Adley's value? He's a hitting catcher. If he hits, that value is up. Yeah, I'm cool with having two catchers, Basayo and Adley. I'm cool with that moving forward. But I think when you're writing the contract, how long do you catch? And if Adley can catch for five more years, his value's higher. If he's not, the value's going to change there. So I think it all comes down to how well does his body hold up, and this is a really big year to see that. And I wouldn't be surprised, Bob, if we actually see an Adley extension during the season. I would not be surprised.
Oh, well, we'll see. We'll follow along. And if it doesn't happen, we'll just blame you.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw will come back. American League East report. You got games happening as we speak, not necessarily in the division right now. It's the Sox and Guardians in Cleveland. But we got some highlights from last night's games. We'll give you a standings update and talk about the schedule moving forward. Then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. He's always fun to talk to. He'll be joining us.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for four lines with all the data you need and four free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's four lines for $25 a line plus four free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
It's at 1:30.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East.
Vinny and Haney.
All right, I've been talking about this for most of the day. The Orioles yesterday, they lose 9-0 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Go quietly into the late afternoon, early evening. Now back home, getting ready for the Toronto Blue Jays. Dean Kramer, he gets touched up a little bit. The Orioles right now, we talked about the woes of the offense. Since opening day when they hit 6 homers, they've hit 6 in the 12 games since. They've been held to 3 runs or less in 7 of their 13 games. Not that I'm complaining. And I'm not complaining here when I say that you have 2 starting pitchers who are 3 turns through the rotation who have earned run averages over 8. And your most reliable one is now on the IL. And Cade Povich gave up 14 or 13 hits, still got through 6.
Mm-hmm.
So you take that. No cramp hands coming off his best start, Sugano. And he's scheduled to go to tomorrow against Toronto. So I'm not complaining.
No. Not just complaining. Stating facts, Bob, yes. Right?
So we're just pointing out numbers, Nolan Umbrella.
Right. Well, you mentioned Cade Povich there. I don't know if we brought this up today or if you saw this. There was a scoring change from that Kansas City game. Remember the no call on an error on Jorge Mateo in the outfield.
Oh,
Cade Povich
right.
gets a couple more earned runs on his line. A few days later, this came out yesterday, they retroactively changed it. It is an error. So Cade Povich, all of a sudden, that was a quality start.
Huh.
How about
corrected.
That?
Good for the kid.
Yeah. And for Mateo, I think we'll all agree. And, you know, as Mike Bordick said, he's the least of their worries. I don't want to see him in center field anymore. Is that cool? Especially when a guy in left field just played center field for most of his career, Laureano.
You're not bitter.
I mean, I'm not Earl Weaver, but even I can figure something like that. But anyway, Orioles tomorrow taking on the Blue Jays. It's Sugano against Francis. That's your scheduled 2 right-hander, 7:05 first pitch. So birds back home licking their wounds after a pretty crappy road trip. Yesterday in the American League East, Yankees taking on the Tigers, and early and often it was all about the Yankees, including a guy, not Minute Rice.
Yankees, they've done it.
High drive, right field. McKinstry back, looking up, and that ball is gone. They're saying it's a double. No, what? It is a home run. A
2-run
shot from Ben Rice.
What? That was a Yes Network. On the home run call, man, not exactly Kurt Gowdy, but you'll take it as you can get it. Ben Rice, 2-run shot. Aaron Judge had 2 ribbies. Yankees were up 4-0. And then Devin Williams kind of letting it get away there in the 8th inning, gave up 3 runs. And look, we sit here, Orioles, first of all, can't rag too much. Orioles haven't even had a save situation. But Devin Williams, their high, big acquisition from Milwaukee, his earned run average right now, fellas, sitting at a strong 12. And in New York, I mean, Milwaukee, they'll let you skate for a little while. Not New York, they won't.
Well, it made them shave the beard, you know, going to New York. And now just to change the facial hair policies, right? Maybe that was where his superpowers was. Well, but, you know, look, he'll feel the heat of it. He's still one of the best in the game. He's got one of the most devastating changeups. Tell you who looked great, though? Max Fried. 7 innings, 5 hits. No walks, 11 punchies. Yeah, they hold on, but they're going to need him to step up moving forward for the Yanks.
And they spent a ton of dough on that guy with the injuries they have to the rotation with Cole and Luis Gil. Turned out to be a prudent move there. Toronto taking on the Red Sox at Fenway. Boston was on fire until the Blue Jays came to town, and old Bo Bichette, he came through in the clutch.
Line drive center field. It's caught, but here comes Clement to score the go-ahead run. It's 2-1 Blue Jays.
That's Dan Schulman on Sportsnet. 2-1 was the final score. 11 innings. Bo Bichette with the go-ahead eventual game-winning sac fly. Kevin Gausman did not factor in the decision, former Oriole, but how about this line? 8 innings pitch, 4 hits, 1 run, 10 strikeouts. So Kevin Gausman dealing up in Fenway last night.
Yeah, I swear every time I see him have a great outing, it still makes me wish that that could have been in Baltimore, right, years ago. But Gausman, he's reminding people, still one of the best pitchers out there, learned how to pitch, gave them a chance to win. And on the road for the Jays, hey, the Jays, we're going to see him here tomorrow. Off to a great start, and Jeff Hoffman could have been an Oriole. Goes to Toronto. He's off to a great start. Gets two big innings there.
What, he failed the he flunked a physical.
Flunked the physical, but so far it looks like he's settling in well up there with the Blue Jays.
It's AL East report here on this Total Request Thursday. And down in Florida, Tampa took on the Angels, and the Rays got off to an early start here.
He swings and sends a fly ball into right. Back toward the corner. That ball's got carry, and it's gone! Home run, a slam for Jose Caballero. An opposite field shot, and that ball just would not come down.
That's Dwayne Statt, FanDuel Sports Network. Jose Caballero, grand slam, gets him off to an early lead. Had to hold on, however. 5-4, they do get the win. By the way, the Angels and Rays, that was last night, in action early today, and Ward has already homered for California. Los Angeles, the Angels, one zip there through one.
Well, there it is also, by the way, the Angels have had, I think, two or three names over the years. They were also the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim at one point.
Stupid.
Hey, Angels off to a good start, and Tampa's that type of team. They're trying to scratch and claw. They're going to try to find a way. Got dicey last night, but talk about a good closer at the back end. Fairbanks comes in, seals the deal. Tampa Bay is going to continue to find ways to win games.
All right, standings update. American League East will start there. Toronto 8-5, half game up on the Yankees. Boston 6-7, losers of 3 in a row. Tampa 5-6. Orioles bringing up the rear 5-8. First place in the Central is Detroit, game up on KC. Texas game up on the Angels out in the West. Phillies half game up on the Mets in the NL East. Cubbies half game up on the Brujas in the Central. And what about the West? Ryan Ripken, get your thoughts here. Padres half game up on the 9-3 Giants. How about Mike Yastrzemski hitting the game-winning homer?
Yeah.
You want to talk about Cundiffs from Elias, I think, not giving him an opportunity. I mean, DJ Stewart, I guess, won the battle there. Yaz has had a nice run in San Francisco. But they're 9-3. Dodgers are 10-4.
I remember that exact day that deal happened for Yaz, by the way. Yaz and Tyler Herb came over, and he was my teammate then in Double-A in 2019. Nice. But Yaz, they made a decision. You're blocked. We're not going to have an opportunity for you. And he was waiting. Then he went to Triple-A out there for the Giants and then hit his way into the bigs and hasn't looked back. But how about those Giants? This is a team that had question marks, but they're pitching well. They have some nice pieces around. And it's not crazy to think that those four teams, the Padres, the Giants, the Dodgers, and the D-backs, are all going to be really entrenched in the playoff race for the duration of the season.
Yeah, and with all due respect to the Rockies.
Yeah.
Toughest division in baseball.
Yeah, right now, toughest division in baseball. And for Colorado, unfortunately, they look like they could be one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, that's a Siberia of major leagues right now, Colorado. We'll come back, talk to Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. He's got a lot to say about any topic you throw at him, including baseball. He's a White Sox fan. Ouch. Losers of 7 in a row. And Ryan told me how they lost yesterday against Cleveland. It was like if it was a cartoon... It was like an anvil would have fallen on the guy as he's rounding third base. Talking to Mike about that. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access at 2. Fox Sports Radio. SwollenDome.com is the website. I want your flex is the podcast. He's already about 17 mock drafts in, believe it or not, to the NFL season of 2025. It's insanity. But he is Mike Harmon. Mike, what's happening?
The Guardians White Sox update. I appreciate that. Rounding third, heading for home. Oh, no, he looks like he's been shot. Oh, my goodness. What's going on, fellas?
A little of this, little of that. And it, look, we're on the whambulance right now about the Orioles off to this 5-8 start. And, you know, compared to what we expected they would be, they are sucking right now. But the White Sox were historically bad last year because of the new rules. Didn't even get the number one pick in the draft with the lottery and such. But you know, they did win in 05. They were in the playoffs just a couple of years ago when Ola Russa was there. I think still had his faculties about him to some level. But ownership, I guess, is a problem for you guys. Reinsdorf, I think there's a new stadium that is desired. So how tough is it to be a White Sox fan as we sit here in 2025, given every other sporting option that Chicagoans have?
It's one of the few times in your life, you know, you always want to have that flicker of hope and excitement. Beginning of April really didn't have that. It just didn't. It was, hey, all right, we're going to watch games because we remain, it's in your blood, right? If you're a White Sox fan and you own it and you don't convert to the dark side, because that's the thing. Some folks make a little bit of money. They decide to move north and now all of a sudden they're a Wrigley fan and they love the Cubs. We don't need them. But for the few, the loyal, the proud, the White Sox fans, I mean, no matter how bad it gets, you still show up. My brothers have already been to several games wondering why they're spending their life that way. But, you know, we all choose our fate.
Yeah, you know what? I think here in Baltimore, we mentioned earlier, you know, my livelihood growing up was for 15 straight years, it was the Baltimore Orioles not having a winning season. You know, when people said, oh, you remember the glory days, and some people, Bob, by the way, think that my dad and Bill are, I'm their brother, and that makes me feel a lot older. I swear I'm younger than that. But I guess the other part, we talked earlier about pitchers going elsewhere, players going elsewhere. Gavin Sheets is a buddy of mine. I think we talked about this last time we were on when I was filling in. Does it make you feel any better or worse when some guys where it doesn't work out in one place and they seem to find a new life somewhere else?
I kind of dig it for the fact that, you know, there's guys like Gavin where you're like, all right, there's a lot of talent here. How do we cultivate this? And just realizing that your organization doesn't do it right. Also a Bears fan, right? There's been plenty of guys that have come through those doors and they go succeed elsewhere. It's like, all right, it's a you problem, right? It's an organizational systemic issue. So when a guy goes and plays well somewhere else, yeah, do you hope and wish that your team eventually follows some best practices to get there? Yeah, sure. But for guys like Gavin and others that and the law, it's a laundry list from Chicago guys. Ryan,
hey, thanks for Roquan Smith, by the way. That's awesome.
One of my favorite guys, right? It pained me the day that happened, and every time I see him on a field thereafter. But it's just the idea that you recognize that you're not an idiot, that you can recognize talent and just realize that your squad doesn't know how to develop it, right? You might have had some guys in the minor league system that saw what they needed to. Either those guys got blown out or as they moved up the chain of command, something is wrong. And let's face it, Reinsdorf spends no money, right? It's one of the great things, as much as there's a lot of uncertainty going around with rights issues and what happens following the break from ESPN. The reality is there's still a lot of revenue coming in off of the national TV deals, let alone what you're doing locally. And every time I see a contract signed by anybody big, add the Vladdy Jr. to the latest it, I know that's never going to happen in Chicago so long as Reinsdorf's the owner. Now, he tried the mini Braves plan, and every one of those came up bust. Every one of those came up bust. But at least he tried something different. So you get a stay of execution, at least for a couple of years, when you at least realize that you've had a problem. Unfortunately, now he's gone back to his old ways.
You know, it's funny you just bring that part up. This is actually, I feel like it's deja vu at times. This is something that the Orioles are actually going to have to figure out here, mm-hmm. where they have young players, that they have to convince to extend. Everyone thought they could do what the Braves did. Not only did the Braves do it so well, right, Mike? It was that they nailed most of their guys that they extended. You know, for the White Sox, the guys that you're referring to, Eloy was one. Moncada, another one. But did that make you, it sounded like for them doing that, it at least gave you a type of hope or faith. Is that, am I misinterpreting that? You still like that they were willing, that he was willing to go outside of the box?
No, that's just it, right? I mean, look, you can't think you're rolling snake eyes three rolls in a row. Just, I mean, take those three players. I mean, let's add Lewis Robert there. I mean, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, it looked like the guy was on a trajectory. It's like, all right, that's the guy. All right, at least that one hit, and now he's lost at the plate. Now, part of that is what's surrounding him. You know, if you looked at the opening day roster, unless you're an ardent minor league baseball fan and just super fan 101, you know, prospecting, you know, baseball cards or whatever, there's no chance in hell you knew who anybody but maybe three of those guys were. Like, that's how that was the roster. It was not made up of a bunch of players. All right, and then you got Clevinger on the back end, and you know him either positively or negatively, either for performance or off the field stuff. But, you know, all the way through, it's the, you know, in football, right? The Ravens are, what, one of seven or eight teams that you point to and say, all right, it's not always going to finish with a massive run, but we know we're going to have a core competency and we're going to win X amount of games, right? Pittsburgh and is another one in division. But we've got so many teams, including the Bears, where it's like year to year, you don't believe they actually have a direction and know-how. So when Reinsdorf went out of the box and signed those guys, like, hell yeah, all right, it may not work, and it failed spectacularly, because that's one of the mantras of my show with Smith. It's like, look, we're going to fail spectacularly, right? Take a big swing at something, not defamatory in some of these stuff that we see guys getting into lawsuits about, but the idea of, all right, here's a take, let's argue it out, and if people don't like it, that's fine, but we can show them how we got through that thought process. But the White Sox, they did that. I mean, think about the Jackson Merrill deal. All of a sudden, the MLBPA is up in arms over what this guy might be and the deal that he took, especially in contrast to what Vladdy Jr. did. So baseball's in a very strange place right now, and I wish you guys luck trying to parse out and print enough money. It's time for a couple extra cookie sales, bake sales, and whatever else you can find.
Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, SwollenDome.com. I Want Your Flex is the podcast. Mike, real quick, we're a couple of weeks away from the NFL draft, but that hasn't slowed you down in regards to getting your mocks together. I mean, how painstaking is that process to start mocking, you know, or doing fantasy drafts when it's just like, oh my God, I don't even know who half the team's quarterbacks are yet?
No, that's the beauty of it, the guesswork. We've got one up. We did a couple weeks ago. It's a 5-rounder. Now with all of the free agency dominoes starting to fall and we get ready for the draft, we actually included a couple of draft picks in that one. It's like, all right, let's grab the young guys because they're going to have a spot. So Genty and Hampton, amongst others, Travis Hunter, finding their way into it. But no, it's a pain in the neck because it's the liar's season. It's the liar's season. It's like walking around, you know, Los Angeles. Say, real, fake. How much work has this person had done? I don't know. But same thing here. It's like, what are we getting from news reporters and leaks that's legit versus misinformation to try to get yourself some value in the draft? I try to make sense of it and throw my darts, and maybe I do some with some accuracy. But again, if you're going to fail, fail spectacularly. Nobody remembers, what are they? They don't boo nobody.
Well, Mike Harmon, nobody's booing you here, that's for sure. By the way, once again, thanks for Roquan. You know, the Jimenez thing, we took a swing and a miss, just like he did multiple times for the Orioles when he was on the second half's team. Into the playoffs. Mike, appreciate the time as always. Say hi to the beautiful people out in L.A. for us.
Hey, absolutely. I'll take some pictures from the beach. Yeah. Peace and love, guys. Ryan, good to talk to you. Take care of my guy, Bob.
We'll do. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Mike. Mike Harmon, everybody. I was going to say Anthony Davis said hello, but he probably doesn't. Funhouse next.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
Don in Centerville says the difference between the O's and other contenders, the O's operate off of what if. Other teams go get proven done that guys that can get the job done. What ifs are for losers. That's from Don.
Well, sticks with, you sure that wasn't you, Nolan?
It's from Don.
Okay. Look, I think it's easy to understand that, and it's hard also. The one thing I will say, the reason why we continue to get to this point, it has been 42 years now since the Orioles have gone to a World Series, and it felt like, you know, if they had just broken through to a World Series, or even won some games in an ALCS. They haven't done that since 1997, winning the games in the ALCS.
That's correct.
We'd have a different tune. So regardless, we're going to keep having this feel until Baltimore changes some things in the postseason.
Howard in Baltimore, a regular here on the text line, says, do the double plays fall on the hitting coaches at all? Just the batters maybe pressing a bit too much. Keep hearing that the home runs will come, but hard contact to the outfield should precede that. We're not even seeing that right now.
I mean, honestly, if it's hard contact, even on the ground, you live with it. I know that's not what you want to hear. And there's nothing with the actual hitting coach. The guy's just got to try to find a rhythm. But if they're squaring the ball up, I'll take that. Just hit the ball hard somewhere, and naturally, we're going to see the power come through.
Drew in Severna Park, this looks exactly like the second half Orioles of last year. All the changes of the lineups, the analytics, so frustrating. Get your 9 best guys on the field 5 out of 6 days in a row. See what happens there instead of all this crazy nonstop changing.
Well, I think that is, I would love to see some more consistent lineups, Bob, but I know it's not going to be the case.
Why be beholden to analytics and lefty? I mean, because Bubich, reverse split. Jackson Holliday had 3 hits Saturday, and he's sitting next to Hyde on Sunday.
Well, and that's the part. You're trying to protect a young player. And also, but I'm not saying I agree with it. When I say some things here, I'm only saying it because I know what the answer is.
Right.
It's in the organization. They are going to play the card. They're going to look at what they have, and they're going to trust that. And I think they'll later in the season, I would hope, if Jackson is red hot against lefties or righties, he's not leaving the lineup. I think the training wheels will have to come off, and you got to let those players continue to show that they can. And I wish it would be earlier, but the Orioles are going to give those other bench guys more run to see if they can do what they essentially signed them for.
And our last text of the day comes from Sam in Rosedale. Says, I'm hearing a lot about the panic button question. The Orioles should have panicked at the end of last year, should have panicked in the offseason when the new ownership plus GM lived up to their reputation. Fans, don't panic now. Instead, lament the wasted 5-season rebuild that brought us right back where it all started.
Wow. What are we seeing, 100 lost season? I don't see that. Yeah, frustration. Over 100. They're close to 100 games of being below 500. So I've said it. Sample size is getting pretty large here. And these young core guys feeling adversity here a little bit.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I would say one thing that would be more frustrating, and look, I'm not saying that you couldn't have made certain moves, but I think the more baffling thing is all the pitching injuries. I know that there's injuries. Like, it's a part of the game. But the Orioles specifically, it's been one guy after another where you're sitting there going, when is it going to end? Because if Grayson and Eflin was still healthy and Grayson starts the year off fine, I don't think that there would even be as much panic because you felt good about those guys taking the mound every fifth day. But I think that's the part for me where I'm trying to puzzle. When is that going to end? Because that just seems like it's been the one thing that's stopping what the Orioles can be.
And who? Well, how do you prevent it?
I don't,
the unfortunate stroke of baseball gods putting a zap on a right or a left arm right here. I mean, John Means, Tommy John surgery twice within 24 months?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that I think you can try to help better prevent and other things that are just bad luck. But for players, this is the part of anything that you do. It's not one size fits all. You have to figure out what works for your body. And Grayson Rodriguez is the perfect example. I'm curious. Ever since that first lat injury he had, he's been trying to take care of that. But then it's led to other ailments. Like right now, it's led to the elbow. And that's the part where I'm talking about is, can you prevent the earlier stages where then it's not impacting you in other ways. And I think that's kind of what we were starting to see with certain pitchers.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Orioles off today. Blue Jays come to town, start a three-game set tomorrow, which means Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Me, Ryan, and Joe LaCroix via Pickles, but we'll get to that tomorrow. Coming up next, Inside Access. For Nolan McGraw, Ryan Ripken, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.